No one can stop the river of your hands, your eyes and their sleepiness, my dearest. You are the trembling of time, which passes, passes between the vertical light and the darkening sky.
Where the hell are we? KBOO, Portland. It's 11 o'clock or thereabouts. 90.7. You're listening to The Sudden Radio Project.
From Carnegie Hall in Manhattan, we wish you a hearty and robust good evening. Welcome to this night, our first ever coast-to-coast live broadcast of The Sudden Radio Project. I'm Delwood Taylor Schmidt. This live broadcast is coming to you from the beautiful Isaac Stern Auditorium in Carnegie Hall. The concert hall is filling now with the electric anticipation as the Mont Basso Profundo Orchestra is warming up. This auditorium, the largest in Carnegie, was so named the Isaac Stern in 1996. Since its opening in 1891, this magnificent hall has showcased some of the world's most foremost conductors, soloists, orchestras, corpulent divas, and diminutive jugglers. Renovated by the architect and custodian William Burnett Tuthill, the compelling curvilinear design allows the stage to become a focal point, enhanced by chintz fabric in a giant floral motif. This roughly 3,000-seat auditorium is near capacity tonight for the first ever performance from a radio theater group. Of the auditorium, Isaac Stern's mother said, "It takes what you do and makes it larger than life." And now, as if to prove that point, here, to thunderous applause, comes the 350-pound conductor of the Mont Basso Profundo Orchestra, Furtwängler Carlos von Klieberschnaut. Sudden Radio Project, based in Portland, Oregon, will soon begin its fourth year on the air, broadcasting radio theater from the plush, state-of-the-art studios at the Arlena Dumpster KBOO Radio Theater Arts Hall Complex Pavilion. Founded 3 years ago by an eclectic group of former bicycle pump salesmen, this irreverent troupe has often charmed, amused, and utterly bewildered both of its steady listeners. Here they come to the stage in a warm welcome from a hopeful audience. They take their places behind each of the 15 microphones aligned across this cavernous edifice. And now, once again to thunderous applause, comes the linchpin to any radio theater performance, the sound crew, namely Chantal Rhubarb Foley, Derek Walla Walla Looping, Butch Waveform Potup, and Betty Jane Kopechnik. Our first piece for the evening, entitled Stream of Consciousness Musical, a wacky radio thingo, has been written by Connor Pennington Kern.
We won't be offended if you are offended.
Stream of consciousness musical theater.
Definition: physical, fast, farcical, with bits of monologue and dialogue rapidly thrown in with songs and bits.
Being male right now.
As good a title as any.
We cannot help each other if like in the cartoons, we blubber.
Blubber.
Being male is neat.
Noises are neat.
Some are nice.
Some are nasty. Like singers who sing flat. That's me in the corner, the one singing flat. Right, I'm gaining your derision. Oh no, I've sung enough. I've sung too much.
You can see he's not the king of fashion, but there's a reason for holes in his pants, wrinkled shirt, stubble on his face. But we can't get to that yet without making the fundamental mistake of alienating everyone.
We don't want to be judgmental, but we hate the word fundamental. You've seen it. It's a cliche. But you'd like to know what's being censored from your spirituality, wouldn't you?
You're full of sin. I said sin. Nasty little word, isn't it? Sounds pretty nasty, doesn't it? Woo-hoo! Wouldn't it be nice to rid yourself of that nasty thing? Sin. Here's how. Read the Bible, pray, and send me a check. Every check you send empties you a little more. You'll feel ecstatic with the love of Jesus and the relief that you've done a good deed.
Dee 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 dee. I like that sound, Dee. It's like in Dilly Dally.
Dorky.
Dinky.
Dooley.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're born to die.
It is in death the artist finds repose.
Oh, God, not another bad lyric.
You'll like this one.
No, he won't.
Why not?
It's you.
So?
That says it all.
Here goes.
No, no, no!
I'll let you sing a solo.
Okay, which one?
Whatever you want. Now here's my poem.
I want to whistle a solo.
What? Why?
I want it. Here.
You whistle while I wince, wondering what is worse, wine turned to vinegar or farting residuals a curse.
The smell. I wish we had another way to make people laugh, but we really don't.
How'd you like my poem?
Not as much as my whistling.
Catchy little tune.
Comet. It makes your teeth turn green. Comet. It tastes like gasoline. Comet. It makes you vomit. So get your comet and vomit today.
Gotta hold up the musical end of the bargain, eh?
Is there anything better than bodily functions?
I know. It's rough. There's my poems.
Maybe my singing.
Your singing sounds like bodily functions.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
All of them. At the same time.
Well, you must have smoked way too much pot in high school.
You think?
Your brain's fried.
No, not high school. Junior high, man.
You were a stoner, I bet.
You were a soch, I bet.
No. A jock.
What? What did you play, huh?
Well...
I bet you never even lettered.
I did, too.
In what?
Golf.
No.
And bowling.
You stud! You know, if there's one thing we've got to do, that's make sure we keep our studliness intact.
It's true. Hey, that's where our humor comes from. We're being assaulted by feminism and homosexuality.
If machoism dies, I'm out of here.
Come on, be realistic. If you can't beat him, join him.
How?
Sex change.
Too extreme.
Cross-dress.
When the women bare their zeal.
Za-za-za-za-za-za-za.
We uncomfortable reel.
Ra-ra-ra-ra.
Until we have the feel.
Fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa.
Of brassieres and spiky heels. For when threatened with man-bashing.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
To our closets we'll go thrashing.
Thra-thra-thra-thra.
And in a single bound, with our corsets tightly bound, we tromp our manhood into the ground. There, that was your solo.
Some solo.
You think the audience likes this?
I do.
We won't be offended if you are offended.
Stream of consciousness, musical theater.
Definition? Physical, fast, farcical, with bits of monologue and dialogue rapidly thrown in with bits and songs.
Being male right now.
As good a title as any.
Bow.
Ta-da!
Let's move on to the next piece. It's Mother's Will by John Bling Severn.
What are you doing out here in the hall?
Listen.
I don't hear anything. It's freezing out here. The fire's gone completely out downstairs. You'll catch your death standing here. What did you hear?
Listen. Quiet.
I'm telling you, Louisa, I don't hear a thing. Except the wind coming in through the cracks of my own teeth chattering. I've got a nice warm fire in my room, and so do you. I don't see why we have to stand out here in this drafty hallway.
Hayden, will you be quiet for a moment? Don't move. There.
There what? I still don't hear a thing out of the ordinary. If you insist on staying out here, let me at least get a dressing gown. Still freezing. See here, have you been at the sharing?
Hayden, stand next to me. Now, listen. From the end of the hall.
From Mother's room? What are you on about?
Shh.
I'm sorry, my dear. I hear nothing except the wind. My ears aren't quite so keen, though. Probably damaged from all that boxing you gave them when we were children. That's what happens when you beat your brother too much. You didn't think it would come back to haunt you, did you? Too bad my Charlotte isn't here, though. She has excellent hearing. Now, enough of this nonsense. There's nothing to be heard except in your mind. Especially from Mother's room. Go back to bed.
I think I'll have a glass of warm milk. Come with me to the kitchen, will you?
All the way to the... Oh, good heavens, it must be 3 a.m. If Mrs. Ackerman sees a light on, she'll come tumbling out from the cottage to see what you need.
We won't wake Mrs. Ackerman. Come with me, Hayden, will you please?
If you insist. Only go get a shawl. You know how cold the kitchen is at this time of night. Perhaps since we're up, I'll have a nightcap. Warm me up.
Light the stove, please.
Righto. What is it you think you heard?
I'm not sure, but I did hear something.
From Mother's room?
Yes.
Perhaps she's come back to dust? You know she can never tolerate dusty furniture. And Mrs. Ackerman hasn't been able to go in there since.
Do you blame her? Imagine a woman of Mrs. Ackerman's age finding Mother contorted out of bed and all twisted to the floor. I tell you, Hayden, it was rather dreadful.
Yes, yes, I shouldn't doubt it. What do you think the old girl was after? Was she trying to get out of bed, do you think? Or did she lose her bearings and fall?
I have no idea. She was so unnaturally positioned. I tell you, Hayden, it unnerved me. And I'd seen much worse in the Great War. I didn't think I'd be able to sleep here.
Obviously you can't. It seems you're not content with your own insomnia, but you must drag me into your somnambulism. Mrs. Ackerman will think we're specters in the house.
I have no doubt that Mrs. Ackerman is sound asleep. I didn't show you this. Here. It came from Mother by Monday's post.
What is it?
See for yourself. Mother's own unique hand, not dictated.
Oh dear, that's odd. Sounds a bit, well, daft. Do you think she'd gone around the bend? What does this mean? He's been coming through my dreams.
I have no idea. Who is this fellow she refers to, Winston Ruggerly?
The name means nothing to me. Perhaps our dear saintly mother had a secret past. Is that why you arrived when you did, this letter?
Yes.
I'd assumed Mrs. Ackerman sent for you when mother passed on. Did you come the same day as the letter arrived?
What else could I do? It is urgent I speak with you, Louisa. Of course, I came straight away.
So between the morning post and the time the train took to get here from London, she expired. And you've no idea what she wanted to see you about?
None whatsoever. I thought it might all make sense at the reading of their will tomorrow. Perhaps Mr. Tulliver knows something about Mother that will clear the matter away.
Oh, good God, Louisa. Do you really think there's more to Mother than...
Why shouldn't there be, you brute? She married late in life, didn't she? We never did know much about her people in Suffolk, did we? Or any part of her history before Papa. I can't shake the feeling that whatever she was after that got her to fall out of bed was a terribly compelling force. What pulls an 85-year-old bedridden, fragile woman to suddenly, and without proper cause, yank herself to the floor in a tangle of sheets? You should have seen her, hey? There was such desperation on her face. I wish you'd seen.
What's that?
What's what?
Did you hear something?
No, you're hearing things. Is it warm yet? Pour it, and let's go back to bed. Tomorrow will be a busy day. It will be light soon.
You take the milk. Give me the candelabra. Was that 3:30? Oh, I'm going to be foul tomorrow.
As usual.
Ha, bloody ha. You're no angel on 3 hours of sleep either, angel. We'll see who drifts off first. Mind the banister now.
That! Did you hear that?
As a matter of fact, I did. But I still think it was just the wind. Watch out for the rug at the top of the stairs. It's just a little twisted. Don't spill the milk.
Did you see it? At the end of the hall, by the door.
What's she doing? Mrs. Ackerman.
It's not Mrs. Ackerman, you ninny. Look, look. It's moving above the floor.
I can't make it out. What the hell is this? Are we hallucinating?
It's coming to us. It's moving towards us, Hayden. It's...
Mother!
Don't move.
This can't be real.
Look! You can see the light from it on the portraits in the hall. It's stopping at the portrait of Great Aunt Zora. It's just hanging around there.
Louisa, the portrait is moving, coming off the wall.
Yes. No. It's on a hinge. It's opening. What's that? A safe?
Come back here. Are you crazy? We don't know. Louisa!
She's opening the safe, Hayden. She's watching us. I'm here, Mother. I'm here.
Come back here, Louisa.
Hayden, come on. Look, she's backing away. She wants us to... She's showing us. There's an envelope in here and something else in it. Bring the candles.
I don't think we should...
Bring the candles, you ninny. It's Mother.
What is it? What have you got?
It's an old tintype. Come closer. It's Mother when she was young.
Who's that man? Papa?
No. Much taller. Maybe he's that...
Oh, God, Louisa. Look at his portrait. He's moving. His eyes are looking at us.
Look, now he's squeezing Mother's hand. It's alive, Hayden. The tintype is alive. He's trying to get out of it somehow. Oh, Hayden, throw it in the fire in your room. The fireplace. Run!
It's done. It's gone.
Look at this. It's a will leaving all of Mother's estate and holdings to this Winston Ruggerly.
Where is she?
She's gone. The light disappeared when you threw that thing into the fire. It says that no matter who her offspring are or what the terms of her current will may be, she is to leave everything to this Ruggerly or any kin of his.
What's the date?
1906. Surely it will be invalid now. Surely
it will be invalid now. So.
Was he trying to come back? Was he trying to?
I can't conceive of such a notion. We can't conceive of such fantasies. Best left to door. Best left to fantasies. Best left to door.
What happened here tonight?
Then what happened here tonight? It's on the back. Look, some kind of letter. Some looks like a prayer or an incantation. A prayer.
Piece for the evening. Now, save your second piece for the evening. Pie. Save your by fourth. Todd, there's Phipps pie. Griblo. By Todd Phipps Griblo.
Would anyone like more turkey?
No thanks.
Would anyone like more turkey?
How about ham? No thanks. Not good.
I'm stepmother.
Mashed potatoes.
I'm stepmother.
Thank you. What about you, Stephen? Have you had enough? What about you, Stephen? Have you had
enough? Thank you for the delicious dinner, Mrs. Overton. Thank you for the delicious dinner, Mrs. Overton.
To my lovely and talented wife.
Well, that's very flattering. But I'm well, that's very flattering.
Quite yet,
but I'm
oh, nonsense.
Quite yet.
Mothers have a way of knowing these things.
I'd like to propose a toast. I'd like to propose a toast. The happiest couple on the face of the earth, happiest and to the wonderful life they'll have together. The wonderful life they'll have together.
Now, Daddy, we've only been together for 3 months. We've only been together for 3 months. During that time, you dated anyone else during that time. You see, you're practically married already.
Oh, let's not rush them, dear. Let them enjoy their courtship. It's the most romantic part of the relationship. Romantic. Tell us, how did you two tell us discover each other?
We met online.
www.doomy.com.
It was lava life.
More like hot lava
life. It was lava life. Stop it.
Please, dear, stop it. Go on, Steven.
I didn't actually see her in person until a month after we first emailed each other.
Oh, my. That is simply precious. If there's one thing the internet has achieved, it is to achieve the art of the love letter. One day, someone will email my heart.
I'd like to propose a toast. As the letters of love it inspires. The letters especially it inspires. Especially.
Daddy! Daddy! Oh dear, you're such a card.
Oh dear,
come
you're such a card.
Come, Kelly, it's all been fun. What was the first thing you missed about her?
Was the first thing you missed about her? Spirited nature. You're just jealous because you come from the flat justice side of the family. You come from the flat justice side of the family.
After all, she is at an age where she must live vicariously between other sex organs.
Why did you sit here watching?
why they all say these awful things, Is she dispassionate in the bedroom, Steven?
That's none of your business.
We know you all have
done that. No, they were doing it till 3 last night.
I can see in his eye he was a regular fucking bronco.
Gentlemen,
what? Stop it this minute.
Remember that charming minute for Kim American her mash night from year before last.
Though I may live in infamy.
Welcome to Intermission Intertalk. I'm here backstage at the Isaac Star with I'm here backstage at the Isaac Star with Hardcore and Scott Lebulo, Hardcore and Becky Lebulo, and Becky.
Thank you, Delvin. Thank you.
Well, what Thank brought you, Delvin. Thank you. To radio theater? What brought you to radio theater?
We're getting double scoops at Messerschmitt's house of 97 flavors from suddenly.
We were being served simultaneously by two different
Yes, right. So when we turned suddenly, we smashed our cones into each other. And from then, we never looked back to each other.
Had either of you ever worked in radio?
Starting in the 60s, I had a radio show at Flint's Community College featuring the local talent of graphic designers.
I ran a live and solemn graphic show in Bayonne. New Jersey that dealt with visual motifs, huge post-traumatic stress artists used by post-traumatic
but somehow
stress
we never quite took off. We never quite
took off.
Then about 4 years ago, I'd been revising some early radio scripts that I had written at Oregon City Hospital and written in the late 70s. Hospital and Harcourt volunteered to leave them over.
Right, they were volunteered to leave them over. Right, they were
no,
robbed.
No, true. They were very, no.
I found this certain political fair less charming to most of them. And as it turns out, I had my own file of radio scripts I'd written from my years as a radio script at the parking lot at the end of the airport,
which were written on the backs of the parking lot receipts.
Which were written on the backs of the parking lot receipts.
We had to retype the whole lot.
About that time, another friend of mine read a good book.
About that time, I just gotten my Fugelheim grant to finish his radio play with a song in my radio play.
The grant was for $26.37. $26.37.
When Rita finished her play, we took the money that was left over and bought ourselves money that was left over.
I guess that's when, that's how we got started.
How is it that you managed to get such a large stable of actors for your recording stable of actors?
Do you want to...
No, you tell.
The court started putting flyers on all the parked cars at the airport that said
all the parked cars.
What was it that said, if you don't sound like a sick parrot,
if you don't sound like an anemic pigeon, and you don't want to hear your voice in the radio, come to a meeting at your Joanne's Bar and Grill next Thursday.
Yeah, that was it.
Next Thursday.
Well, anyway, that was quite a turnout that Thursday.
Including the police, including the police, flyers for illegal distribution of
still paying it off. We found some really wonderful actors in that group.
And these are the actors we see on stage tonight.
No, the others left after 2 months. We found this much left. Pennsylvania station. We got into town.
Well,
oh yes,
they're very good.
There's some real talent on that stage. There's some
somewhere,
real talent
yes.
on that stage.
I must tell
somewhere,
you, yes. It's very exciting to be here at the dinner. It's very exciting.
My mother and daughter
demand
her
very much. My mother never wanted to dig her up very much. There was no one who wanted to dig her up and put her up to one of those
really needs to be the supreme moment of my life. It's such a moment I'll never forget. As long as I'll never forget.
The prognosis is,
I forget. 6 months.
Well, thank you for joining us backstage here. Thank you for joining us during our audience here at the Carnegie Hall.
Thank you, Delwood.
Carnegie
Thanks
Hall.
Very much.
Thank you, Delwood.
Thanks very much.
And now, back to the auditorium. And as we begin, back to the auditorium, as we begin our performance of the Sudden Radio Project. Our live from the magnificent Radio Project. Isaac Stern, out from the magnificent Carnegie Hall. Isaac Stern, our intermission feature, is funded in part by Lenny Pompous. It's funded in part by Lenny Pompous yourself, for once. Here back at the podium is Fred Wangler. Here back at the podium is Fred Wangler. We'll continue with Act 2 of Sudden Radio Project. We continue with Act 2 of Sudden Radio Project. On to the fifth piece of the evening, on to the fifth piece of the evening, we're Boating Climax. It's called by Todd. We're Boating Climax by Grablo. Todd Climax. Grablo.
Greetings, Volkan.
You started
greetings,
I thought everyone had retired.
You started
working. I thought everyone had retired.
Everyone has, except for me, and you. Everyone has, except for me. I've been wandering the corridors.
I find that I rest much better if I allow myself to rest, especially after one of those dreary
What was that sound I heard when I entered?
What was that sound I heard when I entered a moment ago?
Just a little tidbit I picked up from somewhere in our travels. That's all.
You've become quite the repository of interstellar curiosity and knowledge as well. Not surprising, considering all the time you spend here in the study center. Well beyond your required hours.
I'm just naturally curious.
I've been following the oblong.
Well, it's a little haphazard, probably.
It's very thorough and detailed. I'm very honored that you would say that, Bolton. I should add, however, that I detected a certain in your observations, which became more pronounced with each entry. It almost seems as though you were developing a certain attachment to those. I'm sure you were warned about that.
Though I must point out, poor dispassion seems a quite criticism in this case, seems, considering that it was your great-grandfather who first observed the primordial life forms on this earth.
He even witnessed the birth of Raylos himself. The family of Raylos itself had an intuition of something that special had happened there, which he turned out to be correct. Beyond his wildest expectations, it is the last of his legacy. It is the last of all the other worlds to have logged where unable to sustain life without any subsequent interference.
It is truly a unique and fascinating place.
I feel as though anything is possible there. Does it not follow that on such a world negative outcomes are as likely as positive outcomes?
What is a negative outcome and what is positive depends upon one's perspective. Which outcome you're more likely under the prevailing conditions, considering the vast worst of imperial capacity of the environment, and the climate of aggression they're currently in, and the climate of aggression there is also the looming threat of ecological catastrophe, despite these alarming trends, I believe one would be foolish to underestimate their capacity.
Well, yes, of course.
Who could interfere?
There's something you're not telling me. What is it? Please tell me.
An extermination order for Raylos 3 has been.
The council would never enact such a measure.
Considering the truth of the universe, this is a curve of the brief period of time. The curve of the brief period of time. Did indeed change the environment of their destructive, colonized by other worlds, and colonized by other worlds, and one day reemerge and infect one day to be merged in the galaxies. Can you imagine the entire universe rampant by devastation, war, and injustice? Only the merest little microcosm is the possibility that the council's legal ability must take extreme measures.
But what right does the council have to interfere with a world which has no role in creating a world which they have no role in creating? A world which has never developed any harm. What authority do they exercise these godlike powers?
And they were persuaded to table me for the time being. for the time.
Voltan, you saved them.
I would say
Voltan,
that.
Was there anyone else who opposed the order? Was there anyone else who opposed
not
the first, order?
No.
Then Raylos 3 would be facing imminent, and then Raylos 3 would be facing imminent annihilation had you not spoken. Is that right? You are a hero, Voltan, a savior. You are a hero, Voltan, a savior.
Savior.
Yes.
Those are highly problematic terms. Those are highly
I don't care.
Terms.
There are none other than care.
You don't
there
care.
Are none other
than what's the matter with you? What would think you've gotten the space point? What
would
think you've gotten
it's
the
not
space
that. No, I have a much deeper affliction. I have a much deeper affliction.
I love you, Voltan. I love you, Voltan.
You what? You what?
I love you.
That's impossible,
you.
Zarya.
It isn't.
That's impossible,
I really
Zarya.
Do love you, Voltan.
It isn't.
I really do love you,
Voltan. Poor young fool. Poor young
do you not
fool.
Love me also, Voltan? Do you
it's
not love me also?
Voltan?
But you do.
Irrelevant.
I feel it.
You
do.
Feel.
I feel.
You feel? You, have you not learned anything from observing those poor wretched beings in that poor, wretched blind beings in that poor,
you not see it is their feelings that lead them to madness, that lead them to madness, feeding their appetite for murder, vengeance, their appetite for misery, vengeance,
did not cure supposedly dispassionate counsel, nor the endurance in action, devastation is yet once achievable by those hapless beings, achievable by those hapless beings.
It was an emergency measure, considered carefully and rationally, without the
surely you don't believe their suffering is caused. Surely you don't believe their suffering is caused.
Can much of their current turmoil not be blamed?
Much of their deliberative bodies be blamed on participating by
the time used as a patient? Their civilizing institutions are but a feather in the wind of their desire.
But not all of those desires are destructive. But not all of those desires
are destructive. You believe life is possible without death. Life is possible without being. You believe that love can exist without you believe that love that pleasure is possible without pain, that the joy can exist in the absence of pain, joy can exist in the absence
what are we to live
of
for then?
Sadness.
What are we to live for then?
I don't know, Zarya. I don't know, Zarya. I don't know. I don't know.
Voltan, you're crying. Voltan, you're crying.
I'm weak, Zarya. Weak. I'm weak, Zarya. Weak. I haven't told the full truth of my performance.
I haven't told
counsel.
The full truth of my performance.
It doesn't matter. It is enough that you save them. Matter. It
I
is enough that you save
them. I have at best I have preserved them. At best I have.
I don't understand.
I did
I
not,
understand.
As I may have led you to believe, I did not appeal to the more high-minded inclinations of the council, more high-minded righteous oration on the right of life, righteous or hopeful, the possibilities for redemption that I undertake. Possibilities for redemption that I undertake.
I follow the most cynical line of argument available.
I contended that the inhabitants of Raylos 3 would destroy themselves and quite possibly destroy themselves on their planet long before they could threaten anyone before they could threaten them the defects of that type. Particular race were advanced, of that particular pathology too advanced, that pathology too advanced. I quoted at length from the observations that you compiled.
I quoted at
length from the observations that you compiled.
I'm no hero, Zarya.
Certainly
I'm
no
hero,
Savior. Certainly no Savior. Do you still love me? Do you still love me?
I do. Do you love me? Do you love me?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Do you truly believe they are beyond redemption? Do you truly believe they are beyond redemption?
I don't know. Do you? I don't know.
Not at all.
You?
Not
Why?
At all.
Why?
Because I feel it. Because I feel it.
And lastly, from the deranged lastly of Connor, from the Hunter Perns of Connor, there's Dickie Dick, Private Dick. There's Dickie Dick, Private Dick.
My name is Dick. Dickie Dick. My name is Dick. I'm a private college Dick, so my friends call
I'm
me
a private college Dickie
Dick. My friends call me
you can
just call me
Dickie Dick.
Because we ain't friends,
just call me
Don't go away, I have a feeling someone's coming through the door. I'm feeling someone's coming through the back door.
You lady who? Are you the lady who?
Just Dick Doll. You must be Yodel Yodel's Dick Doll.
How do you know?
You must be Yodel Yodel. Get around the campus.
How do you know? I'm Yodel Yodel from Schwing.
You look distressed.
From Schwing.
You look distressed.
My mother is missing.
Your homestay, mother. Yenny, the infamous. Your homestay costume design. Yenny, the infamous. Fat costume design. Do you suspect foul play?
I'm afraid so.
I don't care if you are from Sweden, doll, in my book. I don't care if you are from Sweden, doll, in my book. I'm twice as organized. You're higher than the Alps. Twice as organized.
Thank you, Dick. But haven't we better look at clues?
No, that would be too easy. No,
you don't want to be too easy.
I don't want to prejudice myself too early. So tell me prejudice would be useless too early.
Well,
so tell me, who do you
first
suspect?
There's tiny Tina.
From your tiny Tina. From your tiny Tina.
From Yanny's hometown. From Yanny's music teacher. Yanny was my first teacher. Only love. First
course.
Only love.
From Hollywood. I think I'm proud of Rep Hollywood. I'm very constant designer of residence in Portland. I have a pride in prejudice because I find Yanny's pride in
getting drunk and then having the lightning sounds and then having the last.
Not quite.
What?
You're a suspect too, Yodel.
Me?
You're a suspect
but
too,
I came with that fine year. She's my homestay mother.
Don't lie. That's one of this character. Don't lie. That's one of this character. What's your story?
I'm Yodel Yoda.
What's your story?
I'm an exchange student directing from Schwed to interacting with Mrs. Yenny and I have with Mrs. Yenny to see differences which could jeopardize the upcoming production and directing.
So, we have our suspects. So, I can't remember them all because there are two fucking men. But using the convention of voiceover,
Tina, I'll do anything for Tina. I'll issue anything contract for Killer Ornerosis.
Pockle Bell, I'm a lovesick Pockle Dog. I'm jealousy, revenge, or passion.
Kathy, I need a job. Starvation, revulsion, or letter climbing. Starvation, revulsion, I need to graduate. Frustration, or anger, or some other word.
Bendy, I just want to do my job, Bendy. I'm losing my story and confidence, or drunkenness.
I'm directing the upcoming play my way. Tiffany or Tiffany or Tiffany or
so there it is. Where is so there it is. Kidnapped? On the way on sabbatical? Kidnapped? Or worse, on the way on sabbatical? Or worse? Just a second, cleavage.
What does this mean?
Just a second, cleavage.
Hang
up a few minutes and I'll tell you. Hang up a few minutes and I'll tell you. This is Dick. Hello, what? This is Dick. Bad telephone dialogue that fills in too many blanks. Telephone dialogue that fills in too many
blanks. Committed that crime.
No, why are you calling?
Never committed that crime.
Why are you calling?
I was afraid of that.
Okay,
he's afraid of that.
Okay,
sorry, big Scandinavian titslet.
Sorry,
big Scandinavian titslet.
Dead.
Yeti's been
the killer is glad, but the rest of us are sad.
The killer is glad.
She was
the
president of the costume
sad.
Shop on the floor near her work table.
The costume shop on the floor near her work
table. And locked.
The door to the costume
she
shop
was shot through the back.
Locked.
Went right
she was shot through the back.
I'm
not done yet. I'm not done yet.
She was also stabbed in the front of the neck with two
needles. She was also stabbed in the front of the neck with two needles.
I'm not done yet.
Ghastly.
I'm not done yet.
She was also poisoned.
Arsenic.
She was also poisoned.
Are you done now?
No, you porno director's wet dream.
No,
you porno director's
I'm just getting started.
I'm not done yet.
Who done it? Getting started.
Why done it?
With what
done it?
Why done it?
First,
with who done it?
Was it Tiny Tina, the neurotic actress?
Was it the
Professor
Pockelbell, the sappy, lovesick music teacher?
The sappy, lovesick music teacher?
Was it Kathy the not-so-genteel rival costume designer?
Was it
Funky Fiona,
the frustrated, underachieving student?
Was it
the frustrated,
underachieving Wanda, the censorship queen?
Was it Whining Wanda,
the Benji Bender,
the drunken klutz,
Benji Bender?
Was it you,
Titties Galore, the tyrannical director?
Was it you, Titties Galore, the tyrannical director?
Why
next.
Was it so Tina could get a part?
Was it so Pockelbell could get a vengeance unrequited
passion?
So Heartburns could get Jill's job?
So Fiona could illicitly acquire her degree. Bring family values to the arts. Bring family values. So Benji could have one bender too many.
Benji could have or so you could Zumba could direct your play your way.
Was it done with the gun first? Or the needles? Or poison?
Or the needles
all at once?
Or the poison
by the same person?
Or all at once?
By two or three different people?
Or by two or three different people?
Yeah. And frankly,
yeah.
And does anyone actually care?
It's the dialect.
Dialogue.
I think the genre is all worn out.
You can go now, he's all worn out.
Sorry, I was such a literary chauvinistic pig.
I don't care.
Stupid, me
American.
Is that what they drink in Sweden? Is that what they drink in Sweden?
Hey, Dick. What's the matter? Hey, Dick.
What's the matter? I mean, these radio shows need a lot of work.
What's the matter?
Christ, John, where's that theater? I mean, John, listen to this theater. I mean, who cares?
Listen to this.
Does anyone care about me?
Or
that poor dead costume designer
me?
Or that poor dead costume designer bro?
No, Dick. Nobody cares about the fire.
Right.
Nobody cares about the fire.
People are cruel.
Tell me about it.
People are cruel. You know, I've got it, John. Even though you're from Philly, huh? Even though you're from Philly.
Hey, didn't you say you had some vodka in your freezer?
Hey, didn't you say you had some vodka in your freezer?
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure.
Well, there you have it. On this momentous occasion, as we celebrate the first ever live performance of the Sudden Radio Project, broadcast to you live from the terribly grandiose Isaac Stern Auditorium in the beautifully extravagant Carnegie Hall. As you can hear, this receptive audience is overwhelmed at the performance and is now rising to its feet and is now as maestro von Klierschnott bows before his enthusiastic crowd. The orchestra is now standing, the orchestra is now standing, turning to the stage, acknowledging the performance from the Sudden Radio Project. Our featured performers step forward, one by one. Performers Todd Fowler Reblo, Ronnie Fowler Ronchak, Ty Nietzsche, Ron Armani Snick, Ty Nietzsche, takes a bow in front of this near capacity crowd, He turns to John Noack Sepp, he turns to John Noack Sepp, by Max and Martin jumps to the tavern, blows kisses to the warm ovation, and wins knowingly to Maestro von Heather, Emily, and Heather, in billowing Ralph Lauren Chiffon Coke, They are now joined by Roland, dazzling in his sequined teal gown by Donna Karin, is lovingly received by their new embrace and audience. Here, finally, there's Stephanie Ginger Wixman, clad in forest green and bill blast, James Remington Lawrence, James Fiery Leather by Gloria Van Fiery Leather by Gloria Courts Scott Label Low and Becky Smith Lambo Forward, and are given a bouquet of premium hands, and are given a bouquet of distributed each member of the cast. They distribute stem by stem, beginning with John Baron Severn and beyond with Brody Baron Severn, and moving across the stage to other performers. And once again, a wave of thunderous applause, a most appropriate throng of cosmopolitan, the throng of cosmopolitan, all the actors now join hands, and take a gracious bow before the great near capacity audience, here at the Isaac Stern Auditorium. This has been the Sudden Radio Project. This has been Tune In to Radio every Monday night at 11 p.m. for Radio Theater, 11 p.m. for Radio Theater at its most sincere. For all the actors, writers, crew,
for all the actors and writers, crew, engineers, this is Delwig Taylor Schmidt. This is Delwig Taylor Schmidt. And the Chuzzle Fun. Program was produced at KBOO, 90.7 in KBOO, and on the web at KBOO, and on the web at KBOO. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Tune in to KBOO on January 31st for the next broadcast of the Sudden Radio Project, a special Best of the Year 2004. That's January 31st from 11 p.m. to midnight here on KBOO 90.7 FM.
It seems that Daniel Flesses and some other people really need to be tucked into bed, so we're going to do it with a little bit of The Umbrellas of Cherbourg.
Thank you. Tiki Cha-Cha Club Club.
Right there where we put ourselves last time, right in that little box and that little cube that we're crawling out of now. We're stretching our wings and flying away from our little cube into the airwaves, into your ears. To present more music your ears can see and your heart can feel right here at the Wacky Cha-Cha. I mean, it's the tacky. I mean, it's that whacked out, jacked out, blacked out, tracked out, tracked out, tracked out. Okay, let's lay it on the table again. Crawl over and get into that big chair and be here now at the Tiki Cha-Cha Club. From the corner of Calicala Boulevard and Bourbon Street, in a little Spanish village, a small discotheque on the Isle of Capri.